Hey, welcome to the Sharpway Show, guys. Thank you so much for giving me a little bit of your evening on a Friday. Yes, it is Friday, and we're trying something a little bit new this Friday. I hope you guys like it. It is Foreign Policy Friday. Yes, we're going to see if we can throw a little foreign policy out there. I haven't done much foreign policy, but for those of you who happen to be watching last night, we were talking with Elaine, the self-proclaimed redheaded libertarian, talking about history and governments and stuff like that. And it made me think maybe I should do a little bit, because right now America is talking, particularly our president, Joe Biden, talking about Afghanistan, talking about China, talking about Russia. And what would someone who is a bit more on the libertarian side be thinking about these issues, and how do we fix these bigger issues? And what we often hear from libertarian side is something like, you know, well, just get out, or just stop, or something like that. When if you look at our establishment, that's not where they are. And they always have good arguments for why we should stay in wars or do these same things, or why we should, you know, how we should handle Russia or China, whatever the case may be. But I think we can do better. I really think we can do better. Now, as always, I'm asking you guys, like, comment, share. I always ask you to get out there, like, and comment and share. It really does matter. I want to bring up two experts. I'll bring up Joe Biden too, but I want to bring up two experts, Richard Haass and one other, who were both on MSNBC this week. I think it was this weekend, or maybe two weekends ago, talking about some of the foreign policy issues. And listen to what they have to say. And I'm going to tell you what we should actually be thinking, not just what the gurus are saying.
Haass, the president of Council on Foreign Relations and author of the book, The World, A Brief Introduction, and Megan O'Sullivan, former special assistant to President George W. Bush.
So literally both are Bush era specialist, right? Both are Bush era specialists.
Deputy National Security Advisor for Iraq and Afghanistan, who's on the board of Raytheon Technologies. Welcome both. Richard, first to you.
I mean, on the board of Raytheon, what could go wrong? But this is who we're talking to. This is who we're listening to. These are the people who are saying, you know, here's what our policy should be.
You and Megan wrote, you co-authored in the Washington Post a column entitled, "It's Wrong to Pull Troops Out of Afghanistan, But We Can Minimize the Damage."
Literally, they wrote an article saying it's wrong to pull troops out of Afghanistan. And they're going to give us reasons why we should stay in Afghanistan basically forever.
Assistant to President George W. Bush, former deputy National Security Advisor for Iraq and Afghanistan.
I popped it out. It's wrong to pull
troops and minimize the damage. Tell us why you think it's wrong to pull out, first of all.
Why in the world?
Well, I thought, Andrea, at a relatively modest price of 2,500 groups, who thank God had not suffered a fatality in over a year.
Note what he just said. At a relatively modest price. That's what he said. He said 2,500 troops who haven't suffered a casualty in over a year. Yeah, that's semi-accurate. Accurate meaning they hadn't received any, you know, physical, they didn't get blown up or shot. That's true. But what about the 19 years before? Didn't we lose about 3,000 troops in Afghanistan dead, plus at least double that wounded, if not triple that wounded, plus all those who came back with mental disorders, traumatic brain injury that we couldn't see, PTSD, everything else? That's a modest price that someone else's family has to pay. But he said that, modest price.
At the cost of several billion dollars a year.
At the cost of just several billion dollars, what's several billion dollars among friends? That's literally what he's saying. And this is a common thought process. This is why our true enemies aren't actually Democrats or Republicans. I mean, they are. But in the long run, what they actually are the elites who control the Democrats and Republicans, is guys like him.
This was a sustainable deployment. And as you heard from...
He called it a sustainable deployment. Come on, that's some great wordsmithing. It's a 20-year war that he called a sustainable deployment. So we can just deploy there, sustainable, forever. He would like bases there too, forever. In Iraq, in Afghanistan, Germany, Japan, Italy, forever. This is what he thinks.
Several of the senators and others, the risk of leaving is that you will see the country descend into civil war at a high level. The Taliban.
See, he said descend into civil war, and then he stopped, and he changed. He went a civil war at a high level. Why? Because it's already in civil war. It's been in civil war for literally decades. I'm not making that up. For those of you who don't know, it's been in civil war since about like 1979 or something like that. I'm sure someone will correct me, but it's somewhere in that area. They've been in civil war literally for decades. But if we leave, they'll go into civil war, which they're already in civil war. Oh, but at a high level, way different.
The Taliban will take over large parts of the country. You will see the reemergence of Afghanistan as a terrorism venue that could threaten U.S. interests and other interests around the world. You could have.
And that's the issue, that it can threaten U.S. interests and other interests in the world. I would ask you, someone who's watching, what interest do you have in the rest of the world? Now, maybe someone watching does. You might have a business someplace, or you might have bought stock in a foreign company. So it's possible you have some interest. I mean, it's possible. But the average American, do they have interests in other countries, interests across the world? No. Do billionaires and international corporations? Yes, they do. Yeah. So I have a crazy idea. I do have a crazy idea. How about if you have interests in other countries and you have lots of money and they matter, all good, buy a bunch of private security. Why not? And if you care about that country, hire them from there. And if you don't, hire them as Americans, whatever you care, take your cash and do that. But Larry, then there'll be more expensive products, right? If Apple needs that, then that means my iPhone might cost more. Yeah, and that's okay, because then the people who are using the iPhone, if you like an iPhone, pay a little bit more for the security to make the iPhone. And people who don't buy the iPhone don't get taxed to death to keep a military industrial complex going crazy. Yeah, we could do that. That would not be a bad idea. We're not even imagining that, because the U.S. government has to support the large corporations and large interests. That's how the current world works. And he believes that, but he doesn't say that. What he says is it's a sustainable deployment. Oh, you see what this is? It's a minimal price and it's U.S. interests. It's all these things.
Massive refugee flows, a humanitarian crisis. So our position was simply that we thought the cost of staying were far less than the likely costs of leaving. I think it's.
But us staying is retaining the refugee problem. We're not stopping the refugee problem.
So it's about that complicated and that simple.
And Megan, one of your goals is to be engaged and support civil society there. Mm-hmm. President Bush and many others are concerned about what happens to women and girls if sure. the Taliban takes over.
So how do we, and this is a valid point, right? We're worried about what happens to women and girls in Afghanistan. I agree, that's terrible. It's not going to go well for a lot of women and girls. That's true. So let's ask ourselves a question. We've been there for 20 years. The Russians, who were also, compared to the Taliban, super egalitarian when it came to women. I mean, compared to the Taliban, almost anybody is. But they were also. So the Russians were there for, 10 years? We were there for 20, and they haven't changed how they think about women. What would make them think and care about change how to think about women? Well, there's obviously two parts of any of these types of fundamentalist equations. One, those who are true believers. Two, those who go along so they can make money, right? Those who want to get along and make money. Awesome. That's great. Okay. So what we could do instead is, instead of punishing all these companies, if we want to care about these countries, if we want to care about them, keep our financial interests in there. So if you're selling the Taliban, I don't know, whatever the Taliban need, hopefully nice things like food and home goods, but whatever the case may be, hopefully not weapons, but hopefully food and home goods or something like that, whatever the case may be, then again, that company could easily hire private security, maybe even locally. And as money started to be made, and as they decided to do business with the right people, they would be incentivized to be better to their women. Why? Because what's the best way, and the Taliban knows this, which is why they stop it, what is the best way to have a better outcome from the women of any group, country, organization? Educate them. Educated women by default, will wind up becoming better and better and better citizens, and they'll get more rights. That's how that will eventually work in any culture. But Larry, I want it now. I do too. That is a fantasy in Afghanistan. That's a fantasy in Afghanistan. And unless you're prepared, and the problem I have with what Richard Haass says is, he says we have 2,500 troops there forever. No, if we're going to be the world's police, we should not be the world's police. But if we're going to be the world's police, again, we should not, then let's send 250,000 Marines in there, put a Marine on every corner, just do it, leave them there for 30 years so that we can change two generations and realize we are going to accept at least 10,000 casualties of Marines, dead and wounded, a year. And we vote for that. We declare war. We accept as a country. We've decided we are the police of Afghanistan. And when we send our youngsters to go over there, don't complain. We want them to do. We're prepared to have young American boys and girls die to support Afghanistan boys and girls. If that's who we are, okay. I don't think we are that. I don't think we should be that. I don't think either. Instead, find a way to get them to want to act the right way. The carrot can work with the Afghanis and everyone. The stick has never worked. We have been trying to invade and change Afghanistan since Alexander the Great. I'm not making that, 300 BC, give or take? Is my math about right? It's like 300 BC, when 330 or something like that, BC, when Alexander went into Afghanistan, something like that. So 300 BC, we've been trying to get Afghanistan. The Brits tried. The Russians tried. We tried. Does not work. Doesn't work. Let's try the carrot and not the stick. If you care about their women, let's try the carrot, not the stick. And let's realize it ain't happening tomorrow.
This is what President Bush had to say to Hoda about on the Today Show about his reaction when President Biden first notified him of the withdrawal decision.
My first reaction was, wow, these girls are going to have real trouble with the Taliban. Mm.
This is a valid point, and I can't walk away from this point. It's a valid point. It absolutely is. But I have to hope that of the areas that we have controlled in Afghanistan and given women much better rights, much better chance at success and life over the course of the last 20 years, that some people have changed their mind, that some culture has changed, that we have a shot of it not being as bad and fighting back and maybe even winning. Now, if you're saying, well, Larry, how can we deal with that? Well, just like we do with Vietnam. When we ran away from Vietnam, and we actually ran away from Vietnam, we were open to immigrants coming to America, open to a vibrant Vietnamese community growing in America and giving the Vietnamese people another option to way to look at another way of doing things. So maybe we open ourselves to a bunch of Afghan refugees, people who've been working with us, and that if they lose, if we walk away, they're going to literally be put off in a camp and have their heads lopped off, right? Maybe we allow that. Come on. You know, there were whatever. I'm making the number up. 10,000 Afghanis who've been working with us, them and their families, they get to come over and become refugees. And then what do they become? They become, you know, Afghanis who have connections in that country who can show people in Afghanistan another way. As they can grow and have stronger and better women and have more egalitarian lifestyle, they can show others, look, I came from Afghanistan just like you. And look, we're happier with our women being equal to us. We're happier that way. This is how you grow. This is a cultural issue that's been stuck in Afghanistan for like millennia. And we're like, well, we're just going to go in and bomb it out of them. Doesn't work. Isn't going to work.
A lot of gains have been made, and so I'm deeply concerned about the plight of women and girls in that country.
You think we should have held off on that decision?
Well, I think we'll see. I mean, time will tell.
Now, that was nice of him. I got to give it. I'm not a huge George Bush fan. I'm not. But he could have slammed Biden, and he didn't. He was nice. He was like, well, you know, we'll see. What he's saying is, what he's really thinking is, nah, he screwed up. That's what he's believing. I think Bush is wrong. I thought it was wrong the way he dealt with Afghanistan, and he's wrong now. But I'm giving him credit for not being a jerk, and he could be a jerk because she was asking for him to be a jerk. She was like, you want to slam Biden so I got a cool soundbite? She was asking for that, and he didn't do it.
I think the administration hopes that the girls are going to be okay through diplomacy. We'll find out. All I know is the Taliban, when they had the run of the place, they were brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Megan, you were so involved in that policy.
Yeah, but here's the part that drives me crazy. Is that we didn't go into Afghanistan because we cared about the girls, right? The girls were being brutalized in Afghanistan before we got there for about at least 20 years, right? We armed the Taliban to fight the Afghans, the Russians. We armed the Taliban to fight the Russians. They took over because we armed them. Then when they took over, they treated the women like garbage for 20 years. And now we care all of a sudden. We didn't care. We went in because we were trying to get Osama bin Laden and we screwed up. And we spent 20 years in Afghanistan. Meanwhile, he was in Pakistan.
First Lady Laura Bush did so much to secure extraordinary rights, constitutional rights for women and girls. And now what is going to happen?
You don't have constitutional rights. Okay. Afghanistan doesn't have, that's fine.
Yes, and you're right to point out how involved the Bushes have remained even after the Bush presidency, and Laura Bush in particular. I think here there are real reasons to be concerned. Certainly, the United States did not go into Afghanistan to secure a better future for Afghan women. We know that. But it is one of the things that we can count to our credit by that engagement. And so I think, you know,
I love that we can count to our credit for this engagement. So we can basically use it as an excuse to stay there forever. That's what she's saying. But we can use it as an excuse to stay there forever. Or we could leave. We could do either. We could do either. But Larry, the country will fall into chaos. It's in chaos now. Larry, they'll be treating the women terribly. They've been treating the women terribly now for about 40 years. So we haven't fixed it. And we're not going to fix it. Larry, we can't leave. I mean, if we leave, it's like, you know, it's embarrassing. We're going to lose. Oh, well, we lost Vietnam. What happened to Vietnam? We ran away from Vietnam, ran away like there's no tomorrow. We ran away, threw stuff out. Remember the pictures of pushing the helicopters into the ocean, dumping the helicopters? Yep, all those things were true. Ran out as fast as we possibly could. Ran out. And what happened to Vietnam? Well, we had to fight the communists there or they would get us here. No, that's not. No, the Vietnamese didn't come over here and fight us. They stayed in Vietnam because they were Vietnamese and they cared about their own country, as most people do. They had their own civil war, which they were having anyway. They were having before we got there and they had after they left because we never let them finish their civil war. They then finished their civil war and they became communists. But why did they become communists? Some people don't know this. Why did the Vietnamese become communist? Was Ho Chi Minh a communist? He ended up being communist, but did he begin a communist? No. Ho Chi Minh wanted Western support. He believed in freedom. He was educated in France. He believed in freedom and all that kind of stuff. And the French went, you can't be free. You're our colony. And the Americans said, you can't be free. You're France's colony. So we picked up the war that France lost in Vietnam. We picked it up and kept fighting for them and say, no, you will be what we say. So Ho Chi Minh said, who's going to help me? And the Russians said, we'll help. Will you say you're communist? He went, oh, do I get guns? Yeah, you get lots of guns. Ammo, guns, all kind of cool stuff. Yeah, oh, I guess I'm communist then. Done. He's communist. That's basically how that actually happened. It's embarrassingly bad that we screwing this up all over again. It's as if we learned nothing.
It's fair to note there have been very significant changes in civil society, in Afghan society over the last 20 years, very significant positive changes.
If they can't retain changes after 20 years, how broken is that culture? Maybe that society needs more change and it's not us.
Those are in real jeopardy because, as I think many of the earlier speakers noted, senators that you interviewed, the probability of a Taliban takeover is very high.
Yep.
And so I do think it's incumbent upon the administration to think about what kinds of pieces of a strategy it can put in place to try to continue.
Well, why don't we ask ourselves a more important question here, right? This is supposed to be big about foreign policy, right? These are the foreign policy gurus. If they're going to be a really harsh and terrible and nation that is terrorist-based or whatever, who borders Afghanistan? What countries border Afghanistan? If I remember my map correctly, it's Iran, Pakistan, and Russia. Oh, is it Kazakhstan? Maybe it's Kazakhstan, then Russia. Yeah, Russia, then Kazakhstan. So yeah, so the Kazakhstan, I think it's the Soviet Republic that borders it. Russia might touch, but I think it's Kazakhstan. But in any case, and China's nearby, it doesn't touch. Or maybe some like Turkmenistan or something like that. But that's where they are, in that area. Well, maybe if we had Iran as our friend, maybe if we had Pakistan as our friend, diplomacy could work here.
To support civil society groups through aid, through humanitarian aid, but also look at things like our immigration policy and the fact that we have currently 17,000 Afghans who were actively involved in helping the United States as it.
I thought it was 10. It's 17,000. That's a lot. It's even more than I thought.
Engaged in Afghanistan who are waiting for visas to come to the United States. And so yep. I think that is one of the areas where the United States can take very direct action. It doesn't alleviate the plight of all the Afghans, but it certainly would be a...
She's being smart. She's saying the same thing. It's much better if we decide to do that, right? It's much better if we decide to take them. I appreciate that. Let me grab a couple of comments. A lot of you guys are doing comments. I'm going to grab some here. So let's grab here. Daniel says the threat within this country more than others is within this country more than others. Without question. Yes, you are on the money correct. Absolutely. I'm far more concerned about us destroying ourselves than some Taliban fighter coming over to beat us up or whatever the case may be. Terrible. Christine says his butt needs to be sent to an FOB in Afghanistan. I would agree. Yes, absolutely. Daniel also says, I have zero interest in anything that happens around the world. Of course, most people feel exactly the same way. Sounds like a job for the Blue Helmet Brigade. You know what, Jonathan? I'm okay with that. If that's the answer, if the UN wants to walk in and put peacekeepers, whatever that will mean, on the ground and hope the Taliban don't shoot them, fine. I mean, maybe they can guard doctors and such if they go into a civil war to try to, you know, make sure that everybody dies when they go into a civil war. It's not a bad idea. I'm fine with that. Sure. I mean, the UN does so much garbage. That would be something they could do, I guess. Yes. So, yeah. Jimmy says, we shouldn't be the world's police. Yes. I still hate human rights issues in some countries, but it's not our responsibility. Our involvement is creating more problems. Yes. And you know what, Jimmy? The part that I keep saying, and it's so obvious, but so many people don't get it. The most powerful thing we can ever export is our culture of freedom, which we're losing ourselves. This is Daniel's point, right? We're hurting ourselves so much that our export of freedom and liberty isn't even being as strong as it could be, right? We should be showing, we should be the shining city on the hill. So they go, oh, I want that. Let's do that. And we do that by doing what? The woman was talking about, the idea of letting the people who've helped us come back to America, learn our ways, be freer, and then reignite with their own country. That's great. So, all right. Jonathan says, oh, good point. I'm not sure which one he was good with. John says, if Bush was responding to Trump doing the same actions, he wouldn't have been so gracious. Yeah, Bush doesn't like Trump. You're exactly right. Bush does not like Trump, right, at all. He does not. So Bush probably would have been meaner, but Bush has been very good. Bush is much better as an ex-president, I think, than he was as a president. He was good. He wasn't that bad with Trump. He was a little bit like snippy, but he wasn't that bad against Trump. He was kept compared to Obama. He was quiet, relative, right? It's relative to Obama. He was calm relatively. So yes. Jimmy says the problem is that some of the way they treat women are built into their religion. What are we going to change? We aren't going to change the religion over a religious war. Yes, but religions adopt. They shift and adjust, right? They do. You know, at the most fundamental level, for many Christians, usury or loaning money is against God. And we found ways around that, deciding what is the right amount, what is not the right amount. We found ways. Religions, they evolve and shift. And whether they're Muslims or whatever, they're fundamentalists, obviously, the Taliban are, at least. I don't know about the average Afghani, but clearly the Taliban are. When money comes into play or making themselves happy or them seeing something, they easily could change and be like, well, you know, we don't have to be fundamentalists in everything, right? And the issue is, if they see some people growing, being smarter, being better, being happier, allowing their women to do the right thing, then they might start doing it too. And I just think you see that commonly. It's a common thing. John says, Larry, if or when you decide to run for governor again, best idea for your campaign and social media site is to have a TikTok. I do have a TikTok, my friend. I have two of them. I have a Larry Sharp TikTok, which has nothing on it. And I have a Sharpway TikTok, which does have stuff on it. So please head over to TikTok and check out my TikTok. If you want. There is stuff on it that is actually only to TikTok. If you can go to, there's a link in the show description that is a link tree. Click that link. TikTok's there. Click on a TikTok. You can enjoy. You can also, if you want to, click on a link that gets you to go to patreon.com and throw me some cash too, if you want to. $10, $25, whatever you like. If you like what I'm doing, go ahead and throw me some cash. If you're not in the right spot to show me some cash, no worries. You can go to the Censorship and Free Speech Survey at theadvocates.org. Take that survey, finish it, and then share it. And my sponsors are happy. So that's free. You could do that. You can head over to TikTok. That's also free. Or you can head over to patreon.com/shortway and throw me $10 or $25 a month so I can keep doing this. That would be awesome. Any of those would be just fine. Thank you for allowing me, John, to do a quick plug. I do appreciate that. So yes, Jeff says, don't forget the poppy fields that our government's using to continue to feed the heroin crisis / drug war. Yes, absolutely. Yes, 100%. Christine says, Russia finally learned that the war in Afghanistan is futile. There is no winning. Enough is enough. That's why they call Afghanistan the graveyard of empires. They call it that. They call it the graveyard of empires for that exactly issue. And the British say, you can't buy Afghan loyalty. You can only rent it. That's it. So you got to consider all those things. They have spent so much time, you know, trying to fix this place. It's not getting fixed. So let me, if I could, I want to move from that and go to Biden. Biden talks about a little bit about Afghanistan, but he also talks about China and Russia. So let me finish up Afghanistan. What is the answer? I'm going to give you the answer for Afghanistan. The answer is pack up and leave, period. Declare victory. We got Osama bin Laden. We're going to have a late party and we're going to pack up and we're just going to leave. Larry will fall to chaos. Yes, that's true. Larry will look bad. Liz Cheney said, oh, we can't do this. It's a victory for them. They've already won. Remember, when you're an insurgent, all you have to do is not win. I'm sorry, not lose, and you win. Just not lose. Just keep fighting, and you win. The fact that you're fighting means you're winning. That's how that works. We're not prepared to stamp them out. The amount of violence and blood and treasure we have to spend to stamp them out, we're not ready to do it. So walk away. Declare victory. Open up all trade. Don't sanction them. Don't attack them. Nothing. Open up all trade and we'll be trading partners. Larry, how can you say that? How in the world can you say that? I say it again. Vietnam. Vietnam. We dropped more bombs on Vietnam than we dropped on Germany in World War II. 20 years after we left, they were a trading partner. You can buy stuff from Vietnam right now and you should be able to. And you should be able to. Let me grab Mr. President, Joe Biden, and I'll show you what he talked about.
That means making sure every nation plays by the same rules in the global economy, including China.
Uh-oh, he's going to go to China.
In my discussion with President Xi, I told him, we welcome the competition.
They welcome the competition. Sounds hardcore right there. Keep going.
We're not looking for conflict.
Okay,
but I
like
made
that.
Absolutely clear that we will defend America's interest across the board.
Defend American interest. You hear that again. Defend American interests. Whenever you hear defend American interest, it means defend big business. Don't think it's anything other than that. That's what that means.
America will stand up to unfair trade practices and undercut American workers and American industries like subsidies. From state to
So subsidies from state to state run businesses. What about our subsidies that we provide for our American companies? We're going to stop that? Everyone's going to stop everything? What about tariffs? What about those? We're going to stop those? Start those? It's easy to point your finger and say the other guy's being unfair. And to be clear, is China being unfair? 100% yes. But then just say that. Just say, here's what why China's not... China should be able to give money to their industries. We give it to us. But here's the rules on that. Just create rules that we're all going to say, we're all going to pick whatever, three industries that we cheat with. Okay, fine. Those are industries. That's fine. I don't like it. I don't want government picking any winners and losers. But to act like only China picks winners and losers, I mean, China does it completely. I got it. It's far worse than what we do. But he's not saying that. He's acting like we're a free market economy and we don't give subsidies to anybody. That's how he's acting. And China is just doing it all wrong. No, China's far worse. But why don't we think about kind of cleaning our own backyard a little bit? A little bit. Clean our own backyard. Larry, are you saying you would end all the tariffs? Are you saying you would open up as much free trade as possible with China, even though they're cheating? Yes, that's what I'm saying. Open up as much as we possibly can and tell them what we expect, what we want, and tell the American consumer what we expect and what we want. Because if we do that, a boycott then works. If we don't do that, a boycott doesn't work. You want China to act right? Boycott is the answer. We are now in a second Cold War. We won Cold War One, and Cold War One was against the Soviet Union, and China was the junior partner. We fought proxy wars against China in Vietnam and in Korea, and we fought basically spy wars, espionage wars against the Russians during that time, and the overall destruction threat was nuclear. Well, we won that war. Good on us. Yay, America. But we lost the peace. We were so incompetent in peace treaties, a common problem that we had after World War One, and again after World War II. We lose the peace constantly. We lost the peace after the Civil War. We lost the peace then. We lose the peace constantly. We lost the peace again. So we lost the peace, and now what do we have? Cold War II. But now China is the senior partner, and Russia, no longer the Soviet Union, is a junior partner. And then the proxy wars are against Russia. Where? In the Middle East. Syria, Iraq, Iran, but the proxy wars are there. Instead of being in East Asia against China, the proxy wars are in the Middle East against Russia. And the overall crushing peace now we're fighting is economic warfare. We're fighting economic warfare, not espionage. I mean, that's part of it, but it's economic warfare. And the overall crushing peace isn't nuclear warfare. It's cyber. That's the actual battlefield we're fighting now. Sadly, the vast majority of our elected officials have no idea that's true. If I told them that, they would say, that's not true. This is not, we're not there. They're completely wrong. That's real. We don't need to be building more aircraft carriers, useless, no value whatsoever. More tanks, useless, no value. We got to fight cyber and economics. That's the battlefield now, cyber and economics. Without that, we're going to lose this war. We had the advantage of over Cold War One the entire time. We don't have the advantage anymore. We were winning the nuclear space race, and we were winning the economic race. We were winning even the espionage race. Now we're losing right now the economic race, and we don't have a decent cyber war attack capability or defense capability. So we're not able to attack and devastate. There's no MAD. There's no mutually assured destruction. The reason why there wasn't a nuclear war and no one dropped the nuclear bomb, except us in World War II, is because the idea of mutually assured destruction. If we nuked Russia, Russia destroyed us. If Russia nuked us, we destroyed Russia. Russia can do cyber attacks against us, and we can't do a thing. We suck at that. We suck at that because we're so busy doing other garbage and not doing cyber warfare, which is what we should have. We don't do that. So Russia can do a cyber attack, and we'll punish their oligarchs or whatever stupid stuff. We'll have a boycott, we'll have an embargo. That'll teach the Russians. Now Putin will lose. Stop. It doesn't work. It's not the right answer. And we haven't done the right thing for many years.
State-owned operations and enterprises and the theft of American technology and intellectual property.
Yep, it's true.
I also told President Xi that we'll maintain a strong military presence in the Indo-Pacific, just as we do for NATO and Europe. not to start a conflict, but to prevent one.
Why are we clapping at that? Look at them. All the war hawks, all of them, left and right. Yeah, we are going to keep, we're going to keep aircraft carriers right next to you, making you feel scared. That's brilliant, because no one loves aircraft carriers in their bay better, more than you. I don't know why we do it. It's so dumb. Why? What possible reason? Well, they might invade Taiwan. Okay. They might. Possible. But let me ask you a question. If we pulled our aircraft carriers out of those areas of the South China Sea and Taiwan realized, man, they might invade us, guess what Taiwan and China would have to do? Fix their civil strife or go to war. Hopefully they'll fix their civil strife. But later we might be making Taiwanese communist. Maybe that's possible. That's possible. But if we're right, if freedom is the answer, if liberty is better, if it's true, then the arc of justice will bend as it always does. It will go towards freedom and peace. It will just go slower. Otherwise, they're simply sitting in a minefield waiting for a mine to go off. That's not a good place to live. That's not a good way to live. The Taiwanese need to find their answers also. They all do. Now, that's another question. Are you prepared to have American sailors die to protect Taiwan? If you tell me yes, awesome. Then keep them there if you're okay with that. I'm not. I'm not okay with that. American sailors will go to the bottom of the ocean because they're brave. They'll accomplish their mission. They believe in their duty. And if we have to send Marines to their graves or sailors to the bottom of the ocean or whatever we have to do, do it because we're saving Americans, because that's what they signed up for. When I signed up to be a Marine, I was doing it because I wanted to defend my country. And that's what I believed I was doing. I wasn't, but that's what I believed I was doing. And I would have eagerly, happily, without hesitation, left my legs in the streets of whatever city Ronald Reagan told me, because that he was my first commander in chief, because I believed that I was defending Americans. And if I'm defending Americans, I was prepared to die or send men to their death. Either one. I would have ordered men to their death or died myself or both. Or worse, had left my legs in the streets of Baghdad or whatever the case may be. I would have done any of those things. But not for this. It's the wrong reason. The young, motivated sailors and soldiers and airmen and all of our military members, they don't know what we know. They don't know what we know. It's our job as elder leaders to not make them sacrifice their life, limb, and brain and family for an idea that China might invade Taiwan. It's the wrong answer. It just is. I know some of you will disagree. It's the wrong answer. This is a terrible idea. And the idea that they're all clapping, in my view, is shameful. We should be like, no, why are you clapping at this? Why are you clapping at this? What happens? This is a serious question. What happens when China gives us an ultimatum? What happens when China becomes strong enough mentally, physically, whatever, and they say, America, that is now Chinese, that's Chinese waters. We are going over to take Taiwan, which is our lost province. Get out of our way or we will sink you. What do we do then? Serious question, what do we do? No, go ahead and sink us. No, fight us. We're going to war. No, we'll drop a nuke on you. Is that what we're going to do? What happens if they actually do it? What happens if the Chinese actually build enough cruise-type missiles, whatever those things are required, or a large enough navy over the next 5 years that they can engage probably their entire navy against one of our fleets? Their entire navy engages their fleet and maybe doesn't win because our navy is super powerful, but let's say they either beat us up or even win or sink a couple of ships or whatever. Hundreds, if not thousands of sailors die. What do we do? Go to war? Going to invade China? Is that the answer? Going to embargo them? Is that going to be good enough when they kill our soldiers or troops? Embargo them is going to be okay? We are setting ourselves up for a no-win situation. And at one point, China is going to be able to call our bluff. At one point. I don't know when that is. Next year, 10 years. Mark my words. At one point, China will call our bluff. They're going to say, we're going to Taiwan. What you going to do? We're heading there. You going to sink our ships? You sink our ships? We'll throw a tactical nuke into the ocean. Then what you going to do? Nuke us back? You can start a nuclear war over Taiwan. It makes no sense. This is a terrible idea because no one's walking down that road. The only road I want to walk down to put my troops on the border is because I prepared to fight. They're going to invade California. They're going to invade, you know, Texas. They're going to invade Arizona. Yeah, we're scrapping. Marines are going to die that day. And a lot of Chinese are going to die too. And if we got to nuke you, we're going to nuke you. You're not going to invade our land. Yes, that is a battle I'm prepared to fight. That's a hill I will die on. I'm with you. Taiwan? No. I'm not okay. It's not the right answer. And we're clapping. We're clapping. Because their kids aren't there. And none of them are there. Or they're just too ignorant. That Marine's like, yep.
I told them what I've said to many world leaders, that America will not back away from our commitments, our commitment to human rights and fundamental freedoms and to our alliances.
Okay, see, those aren't the same. He linked them all together. Fundamental freedoms, blah, blah, and our alliances. Our alliances don't equal those other two things he said. They're not the same. It's a common tactic, by the way. Speakers will use, they'll do two or three things that you agree with and then throw a third thing on the end of it so that you'll just go, oh, yeah, they're all together. I agree with all three of those. No. How do you get out of all these alliances? Another question people ask me, Larry, how do you get rid of all these alliances? It's very simple. Every single agreement we have, whether they're actual alliances, peace treaties, accords, or even SOFA, which is a status of forces agreement, or even if we have a SOFA agreement, all of them have a way out. All of them. Either it's timed, or you have to pay a fine or a fee, or you have to give notice, or something. Why would you want to pay a fine or a fee? Because in many cases, when we go at big bases, we pay to have the base, or we pay to hire some of the local people. So there are contracts that are sometimes negotiated in there that we're paying the local people to keep the base there, right? And it's funny, a lot of local people who may not want a base in their country will accept it because of the jobs that people get on the base. So that may be sometimes part of the agreement we sign. So you have an opt-out. You pay the fee, or you let it expire, or you give the notice. And over time, over the next 2-3 years, you can end all of our agreements, all of them legally. I'm doing air quotes because so that the diplomatic world doesn't say you went back on your word. No. We stayed in our word. We stayed in the contract. The contract had an out, and we're taking the out. And for the few that may not have an out, they all expire at one point. So those that don't have an out eventually expire. So you let people know at the end of this agreement, we're not renewing. That is how you slowly, literally just disassemble the military industrial complex. But remember, the military industrial complex is a massive jobs program. People make a lot of money on the military industrial complex, heavily based on things like foreign aid, right? So we give $50 million or whatever number I'm making, $50 billion to country A. The local warlords take $10 billion, put it in their pocket. The people get nothing. And then they take $40 billion of it, and they buy weapons from us with that money. So it's just a government-sponsored way of making more money, right? So U.S. government gives them $40 billion. The warlords take $10 billion, put it in their pockets, so they can buy palaces and stuff. Then they take $40 billion, and they buy weapons from us. So the government's money now comes back to us through purchasing weapons. They take those weapons, and then they keep oppressing their own people so they can keep those, you know, those palaces they bought with the $10 billion we gave them. So that's our current policy. We could stop that and just instead end all the trade embargoes, end all the sanctions, so the people that are now selling weapons to country A can instead sell shoes to Iran or beds to Cuba or blankets to North Korea or whatever. The companies don't care what they sell. They just want to sell stuff. That's why they're companies. Okay, great. People in those countries probably want to buy stuff. Okay, let them do that. They make money. They get stuff. Life is good.
I pointed out to him, no responsible American president could remain silent when basic human rights are being so blatantly violated.
Yes, he's correct. But why does saying something equal bombing? Why does saying something equal tariffs or sanctions? Why does saying something equal my fleet in your bay? Why does it equal that? Saying something could just equal saying something. Yeah, I have an idea. What if instead of we going, I'm going to get China because I'm a tough guy, instead of doing that, you actually spent time, maybe every week, maybe sent some of your people out, instead of talking to the actual individual American and telling them that, you know, those crayons you buy at whatever Kmart or Walmart or wherever they sell the Chinese made crayons, those crayons made by Chinese slaves. Yeah. You still want those crayons? Those crayons you got made by Uyghurs. They make them do it. Then they kill them. Yeah. So forced labor camps. You still want those crayons? Do that every week, every month. Say something. So the Americans go, huh, how much do I care about slave labor in other countries? And if Americans actually go, I don't care, let the slaves work, I don't care, I'm buying my crayons 25 cents, then the country doesn't care. So then why are you acting? If that's true, please, I hope that's not true. But maybe it is. Maybe Americans don't care. Say slave labor, all good. Give me my cheap crayons. If Americans actually believe that and want to keep buying cheap crayons and don't care about slave labor, then why is he acting? We clearly don't care. Or we'll go, it's not worth, I'll pay the extra 25 cents for my kids' crayons. I'll pay an extra quarter and I'll buy the non-Chinese crayons because they're slave labor. All of a sudden, Chinese companies, the orders coming over to Walmart, Kmart, all of a sudden don't come anymore. Walmart and Kmart start jumping through hoops, go, whoa, 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 whoa. We sell a lot of crayons every year. We are not happy that they are not buying our Chinese crayons. China, we're not buying your crayons unless you change. The Chinese go, whoa, no more Walmart orders? No more Kmart orders? Okay, we're just kidding. They're not slaves. We're just kidding. We're going to give them some more money. It's fine. All joke, you crazy Americans. That's what winds up happening. And you may say, Larry, that's a fantasy. No, that's what actually happens. How do we know that? That happens in America. It happens in America. We do it all the time. There are lots of people in America now who don't want to buy from certain stores. Happens all the time. We start putting that pressure. Think of all you guys on the right who hate all the wokeness. Think about all the companies now who are becoming woke. I do air quotes on woke too. Becoming woke. They're not becoming woke because they care. They don't care at all. The board's not like, you know what I care about now? Black people. They're not doing that. They don't care. They're not racist either. They just don't care. They don't care. They're not like, get the black people. And they're not like, I love black people. They don't care. Their bottom line, that's all they care about, right? So they're not all of a sudden woke. They're like, hey, if we become woke, people will buy our stuff. We should be woke. That's why they're doing it. Oh, the reverse. If we're not woke, then they're going to cancel us and we're going to get hammered. So let's be woke. The equivalent will happen in China because that's what people do. That's how it works. And they won't be woke, but they'll be, I don't know, not prison laborist. Is that a word? I've just made that up. They won't be that. So that's how you can actually fix it. So say something. He's right. Again, I'll give him his points. We shouldn't say nothing. He's correct. We should say something. But saying doesn't mean doing. And sometimes saying's enough.
An American president has to represent the essence of what our country stands for.
Yeah.
America is an idea.
And a country.
The most unique idea in history.
And a country.
We are created, all of us, equal. It's who we are. And we cannot walk away from that principle. And
I think that was just, he was playing the woke card, which is fine. Look, he's Democrat. He's got Democrats behind him. He's playing his woke card. Look, see, I'm woke. I got you.
In fact, okay, say we're dealing with the American idea. With regard to Russia, I know it concerns some of you, but I made very clear to Putin.
Yeah,
we're not going to seek escalation.
Yeah.
But their actions will have consequences. They turn out to be true, and they turned out to be true.
Yeah.
So I responded directly and proportionally.
And that's the problem. You responded directly and proportionally. With what? They did a cyber attack on our country. So you did cyber attack on their country? No, you didn't. Do you know why he didn't? Because we can't, because we suck at that. Because we're too busy building F-35 fighters and more M1A2, is it A1A2 now? Abrams tanks. And we're sending freaking aircraft carriers into the South China Sea. Stupid stuff like that. Instead of building out a cyber attack force, which is what matters today. A cyber attack force matters. Here is what you tell Putin or anybody else who runs Russia or China, any of the country. You make a cyber attack on us, you attack our electoral system or anything even close to that, I will give you 6 Chernobyls within a day. That's a direct threat. I will give you 6 Chernobyls in a day. My cyber attack against you will be so devastating that every nuclear power plant you have is gonna blow up. All gonna melt down. I'm gonna shut all your grids down and watch your population starve. I'm not joking when I say that. Why? That's mutually assured destruction. That stops the attack. That's what nuclear warfare was. I will nuke you out of existence. Well, then I'm not gonna nuke you then. Yeah, because if either one of us nukes, we're done for. Well, my cyber attack will be so devastating, not proportional, devastating, catastrophic. My cyber attack against you will be catastrophic. You will not recognize your country when I'm done. You won't know where your borders are. That's how bad my attack will be upon you. That's what you tell them. Maybe not up front, but maybe. I mean, Brezhnev who took his shoe and stomped it on the table in the UN? We will bury you. He was like, open, mess with us and we'll nuke you. We will burn you up. And guess what? The nuclear war. That's the outrage. It's proportional of it's dumb. Particularly because we're not ready for it. So now we're gonna sanction some of your Russian guys. And now Putin surrendered. No, didn't work at all. Now he's just still mad. You've made sure you still have an enemy who's still gonna find ways to get you. This is insanely dumb, backward, the same old garbage, and keeps us fighting. This is how the war remains perpetual. It's always, we're always at war. We can end this.
To Russia's interference in our elections and the cyber attacks on our government and our business.
And we did nothing.
They did both of these things.
That's true.
And I told them we would respond, and we have.
And no one even cares. We have. And that other guy is still, the other guy is still dying in prison. And Putin's about to change the Constitution so he can be president for another 15 years. Well done. Boy, you showed him, Joe. You showed him. Putin's scared now. You showed him. And I don't want to just blame Biden on this. Trump didn't scare Putin either. Neither did Obama. None of them scared Putin. Bush didn't scare Putin. None of them scared Putin. And they all think, yeah, we're going to get him. No, stop. You're not tough guying him. The answer is very clear. Mess with me and I will devastate you. Or don't mess with me and we can. And nothing. Just let's be friends. And we can all trade and make money and life is good. Or. You get attacked when I can devastate your country. It's you. You pick.
We can also cooperate when it's our mutual interest.
No, not when it's a mutual interest. Always. Always.
We did it when we extended the New START treaty on nuclear arms, and we're working to do it on climate change. But he understands. We will respond.
No, he doesn't.
Hey, NBC.
So anyway, guys, I just thought you might enjoy that part. There is a way of fixing all these things. Right. There's a way of fixing all these things I keep bringing up. Every time I bring up the idea of trying to repair these things, it's not the same old way. It's not violence unless it's catastrophic violence. But it's just leave people alone. It's the biggest issue. Let me grab a couple more of these if I can. All righty. Bob says, sorry if you've talked to us already, but what are your thoughts about Biden's menthol ban? Sadly, I predict more situations like Eric Garner, so much for the anti-drug war president. Yeah, I know. Don't worry about it. We're going to, be fine with, Black Lives Matter. They matter so much. I'm going to ban menthol cigarettes. And who's going to enforce that? Yeah, cops. Cops will. They're going to make more cigarettes illegal. Well, why is Eric Garner dead? Selling cigarettes illegally. So you know what we should do? Let's make more Eric Garners. That's Joe Biden. But what'd you expect? The guy wrote the crime bill. Kamala Harris wants to throw people out of the office if they smoke weed. Kamala is the drug warrior. They're both drug warriors. So, you know, you're right, Bob. It's garbage, but I'm not shocked at all. I'm like, yep, this, look, I got to tell you, they are who they are. At least they are who they are. And the people who didn't want to accept them, that's on them. We kind of knew that. We kind of knew that already. Absolutely. So Craig says, speaking of poppies in Afghanistan, they were all ready to grow cotton there, but America couldn't have competition for our producers. So we make sure Afghanistan grows poppies. There we go. See that? That's our interests, Craig. I'm sure you and I, we got interest in those poppy seeds. It's interest. Of course it is. Yes. Bob says, we might look bad, but we look worse killing civilians. Bob, wow. Well done. Yes. Well done. Absolutely. Ryan says, I don't believe the anti-China propaganda. Well, that's my point. I thank you for that, Ryan. If the president can't convince you that you shouldn't buy China until China does X, Y, and Z, then you don't care enough. You don't believe it. And it's his job to communicate. He has the bully pulpit. He's supposed to be able to influence most Americans. And if you're the only one who doesn't believe it and other 300 million people believe it and don't buy the Chinese crayons, it still works. It still works. I can't expect 100% compliance. What if the reverse is true, Ryan? What if most Americans don't believe it, right? What if you're not part of the minority, you're part of the majority? If that's true, then why would we attack the Chinese in any way anyway if the American people didn't believe it was bad? Either way, the American people decide. Either they believe it or they don't. Doesn't matter either way, to be fair with you. We decide and we get what we decide upon, which is fair. That's the issue. So Paula says, Afghanis are not as religious as some other Mideastern countries. They are more tribal than religious. Yeah. Oh, very valid point, Paula. Many Afghanis really identify with their tribe more than their nation. That's very true. Absolutely. And their tribal ideas and cultures are far more important to them. But that's really the issue. 100%. Brian says, Nixon went to China and turned a former enemy into a trading partner. Yeah, thank you, Brian. Thank you for bringing this up. Nixon to China. Yes, absolutely. This is one of the reasons, and I know some of you who don't like Trump are mad at me. The one thing I liked about Trump when it came to his foreign policy in East Asia is him going to North Korea was brilliant. It was Nixon going to China. There was an actual chance. I wish he had finished it. He just didn't finish it. But same thing, right? Trump going to Korea was like Nixon going to China. We had an opportunity to fix things. But I really think the ball was dropped. And I'm not sure if it was his fault or his people's fault or whatever. Overall, it's his responsibility either way. But I don't know who actually dropped the ball on that one. That was a good idea. And Brian continues, this was good for both us and them. Now the deep state's trying to end trade partnerships. And the only way deep state knows how is by violence and threat of violence. You know, I have been someone who hasn't wanted to use the deep state as anything, as a concept or as an idea. But I do see more and more of it. And I would rather call it, Brian, the establishment. Only because deep state sounds conspiratorial. So I'd rather use establishment. It makes me feel better. I think it sounds better. So I'm with you. I'm just going to swap out deep state and put in establishment, if that's okay. But I get what you're saying. So Jimmy says, big corporations and industries here in America are in bed with our government. We aren't far behind for how China operates. It's a valid point. We aren't as bad as them. I mean, they are literally business and government. Together, like they sleep in the same bed. Ours like share a room, right? It's not exactly the same. So, but it's very close. I agree. Absolutely. Live your life, cause no harm. Says the Cold War sent us in debt. Also true. Remember Star Wars that cost $4 trillion in the Reagan? Yep. We need to invest in innovation being first, but we won't fix our schools. We set our own people to fail. It's another valid point, right? We're focused on things that don't matter. We're focused on wars that don't matter. These wars aren't important. These aren't. We don't have to always be at war. We can actually fix things at home if we want to. Ryan says, Corporatocracy. Okay, I'll buy that. Yes. So, all right, see if I can do this here. Nicholas says, there are certain U.S. industries and technologies that I'd call strategic that we must protect. Well, That's a tough one. It's a tough one. The problem with that is those industries change, shift, and adjust. We shouldn't be holding on to them from the past. And we can easily, for example, the oil industry, right? As an example, maybe even coal for energy. Well, if we went to nuclear power, it doesn't really matter anymore, if that makes any sense, right? If we really went to nuclear power, that would change everything. So I know we want to have oil reserves and such. But the other thing is, why do we want to have oil reserves, you know, for our tanks? We're not going to have a tank battle. I would argue never again. I would argue literally we could take every single tank in our military, trash it, and it wouldn't change anything. We're not having tank battles. It doesn't happen anymore. Wouldn't we have tank battles? Not a thing. A thing actually is cyber attacks. Let's work on those. That I'd call strategic. But I see where you're going, Nicholas. But the problem is, who decides? I'd rather just let Americans decide what they want to protect and not. I think in the long run, whatever is strategic, we would probably hold relatively well, as long as we have the number one things, two things, which are nuclear and cyber. I mean, what country is actually trying to fight for more land? And if they do, so what? And I'll bring up a perfect example. Remember just recently, this is Russia, Nicholas, if you remember, they were, the Russians had a bunch of tanks on the Ukrainian border, and they were going to supposedly invade Ukraine. Okay. Were we going to send American troops into Ukraine? I'll ask the same question I just asked earlier. Are you prepared to send American men and women to die for Ukraine? Are you ready to do that? I'm not. And you might go, Larry, you're a bad guy. Maybe, but I'm not prepared to send your sons and daughters off to die for Ukraine. I'm just not. And then when I send them to die for Ukraine, we're going to spend trillions of dollars fighting that war, fighting Russians. Lots of us are going to die. Lots of them are going to die. Lots of Ukrainians are going to die. Their country is going to be destroyed. How do I know that? Because that's what always happens every single time. So lots of them are going to die. And when it's over, we're going to pay to rebuild. They're going to hate us and throw us out anyway. And the Russians will still be fine. So why do I want to do this again? Well, I know the answer. Larry, you can't let the Russians take over Ukraine. What's next? The Baltic states? I guess maybe. But you think they're not ready to fight? They're going to just give up? Well, then what about Poland? So then Poland just surrenders? Is that what happens? And all the Western powers just go, you look, Russians taking over things. What are you going to do? That's what happens. The Germans are okay with that. I'm not sure Germans want to fight Russians. I'm not sure Russians want to fight Germans. That never goes well. I don't think they want to do that again. And the French just going to sit there? The French have nuclear weapons. The British have nuclear weapons. You're going to start a nuclear war over Ukraine? You don't want to posture if you're not ready to take action. I don't want to draw my pistol unless I'm ready to pull that trigger. Otherwise, I don't want to draw the pistol. And we keep drawing our pistol and shaking rattling our saber. And one day we're going to have to use it. And my worries walk away. And my example was Barack Obama in Syria. Remember his red line? He had the red line. And what happened? Russians crossed the red line. Syrians crossed the red line. And Obama said, well, not that red line. It's another red. You missed that. I meant that red line. It's the wrong red line. Walking over my line. Someone else's line. I don't know what you're talking about. That's his line. That's not my line. All of a sudden, there's no line. And we look terrible. I have an idea. My red line is my actual border. That's my red line. Cross that red line, I'm prepared to fight. And my Marines, soldiers, sailors, and airmen are prepared to die on those hills. Yes. And prepared to nuke. Yes. Because that's the red line I care about. Mother lines, just lines. Not concerned. But I can still say stuff. Jimmy says, we need to turn back towards more freedom and the protection of individual civil liberties. Then we can once again be the light in the world's dark tunnel. Ooh, I like that. We can be the light in the world's dark tunnel. That's nice. I like that. All right. Sky, nuke drops my son Kobe. That's terrible. Sky, you are terrible. I should have read that before I read that. You are terrible. It's funny though. It is funny, but yes. I see the China Sea is a UN issue, not an American. I would buy that. I'm okay with that. That's a good compromise. Let's do that. The world needs to solve and answer these issues when it comes to international sovereignty on the world. We are the world police or for hire. For hire, I guess, right? I don't know. I look, here's what I would do with for hire. And this is serious. I'm dead serious. If the UN wanted to create a volunteer elite force that people could volunteer for, all right, if they want to do that, I don't think the UN would ever want to do that because it'd be like the French Foreign Legion, it'd be full of mercenaries. But in theory, it's your life. If you want to go fight for the UN ninjas or something, go ahead. But why would I force our troops, our taxpayer dollars, to die in for the Philippines? That doesn't make sense to me. I just don't see it. So. Paula says, how do you see the British handling Beijing with regard to Hong Kong? I know it's a broad question, but I'm watching for some Archduke Ferdinand moment with the UK and China, and I hope I'm wrong. No, I think the UK is going to do the only thing it can do. Nothing. It really can't do anything. Hong Kong is Chinese. They'll talk a lot, which I'm okay with that. I really am. I think we should talk about it more. I'm happy with Biden going, this is a bad thing. China should be doing this. This is terrible. Hong Kong needs to have more sovereignty. Hong Kong should. Fine. They go, what are you going to do, invade? No. I'm going to make you look bad. And I'm going to make Americans feel like you guys are monsters, not buy your crayons. Yeah, I'll do that. But I'm not going to bomb you because I'm not prepared to have my Americans die for Hong Kong. I'm just not. And I think the British should be the same. The British aren't going to invade Hong Kong, do anything real. The British aren't going to do anything. They're going to talk and walk away. That's what they're going to do. And it's fine. It is what it is. Ryan says, Biden with Pelosi and Harris in the background. Antichrist superstars. I got to read these before I read them. That's good. All right. Brian says, embargoes against this or that country will not improve our country. Yes. Thank you, Brian. That's what I keep saying. No embargoes. In fact, just the opposite will happen. Just think what happened to our country, to our economy, if China voluntarily decided not to trade with us at all. Let me try something crazy. Let me give you a crazy idea. We decide tomorrow end every embargo and sanction we have against all the countries we do. We have like 15 or 20 countries we have embargoes and or sanctions against. And all of them. End them all. Without even just all done tomorrow. Trade with who you want. Some people wouldn't do anything because they're not accustomed to trading with those countries. But they'll always be early adopters and they'll begin to open up new markets. That's a good thing. Brian, you're right. Now there's new opportunities for us to sell stuff in other countries, sell stuff into Korea, sell stuff into Cuba. Will some people make mistakes and get screwed over and have problems? Of course, that's why only some people enter the market. Some of those who are you know, more open to more risk, those who maybe have enough money to have private security to go in those areas to enforce their contracts, whatever the case may be, those who can sue in the international courts to enforce their contracts. So probably those types will probably go in first. It will be more of a wild, wild west. That's how it often works early on in markets. But then eventually they'll create what makes sense because then the people in North Korea will say, ooh, this works. Okay, this is good. This works. I like this. Let's keep this going. And then they will begin to create their norms also. They'll put pressure on their governments. Yeah, absolutely. How do you fix the Koreas? This is what we do on foreign policy. First thing we do, remove all of our troops from South Korea. The reason why China doesn't want a united Korea is because they're going to have American troops on their border. North Korea is a buffer state for them. That's the reason. Otherwise, why would they want to keep propping up broken North Korea? They don't want to keep propping up that broken state, but they do because it's a buffer state. You got to go to North Korea before you get to us. That's their entire reason. So get rid of all our troops in South Korea. So now they just have Koreans on the border. They've had Koreans on their border for thousands of years. They're fine with Koreans on the border. And when they weren't, they invaded. That's just what they did. But otherwise, they've had Koreans on the border for thousands of years. They'll be fine. So then they can unite. Well, Larry, how are they going to unite with Kim? We got to put pressure on Kim. Let me ask you the same question I asked. What's the end game with pressure on Kim? What's going to happen? Are people going to rise up and kill him? Not going to happen. Maybe one of his generals might. That's possible. But then a general takes over, and then we have you know, another Kim the second with a different name, or maybe the same name, whatever. So, and he's a god to them. So, how are we going to stop that? We're not. We can put all the pressure we want. All it does is reinforce it more. When has our pressure worked? When has our pressure actually had it to a point where people go, oh, you know what? You're right. I'm going to step down. Where's he going to go? You've made him a pariah. It's a grossly simple answer. You say, hey, Kim family, we're going to move all of our troops out of South Korea. So one or two things happen. He gets crazy and goes, I'm going to invade South Korea now. In which case, the South Koreans will beat him and unite the country. Done deal. Problem solved. Lots of Koreans dead. That will suck horribly. So I hope he doesn't do that. But if war is what it takes for the Koreans to unite their country, if they decide war is the answer, it's okay. We did it in our civil war. We lost 700,000 Americans in our civil war. We did it. If they want to, they will. If they don't, then they won't. They'll make a decision either way. But the country will unite itself if it goes to war. Odds are it won't go to war. And how can we stop that? Because what we do is we say, hey, Kim and your family, you've embezzled X billion dollars from your people. Why don't you keep that money? Take that money and your family and close people you want to take with you, maybe a couple of generals. Why don't you pack up and move to China? We're going to broker a deal with you where you can buy some land, I don't know, Shanghai or someplace cool on the coast somewhere. And you can live your life out there, you and your family and friends, forever. Just go. Just go. Walk away. We will help, but we'll help it. We won't even put you on the evil, desperate, nothing. You can just go there and do that. Larry, that's crazy. Idi Amin did it. Guy who used to run Uganda. He died in France. He packed up, moved to France. He died in France. Happens. That was the 70s? Then it was 70s. Why can't he do it? He packs up and leaves. Our troops are not in South Korea. The Chinese don't care if the Koreans unite. They'll unite. How will they unite, Larry? We won't be able to. It doesn't matter. We don't have to. They're Koreans. They will find their own way. The Germans reunited. They found an answer. They reunited. Used to be in East Germany, West Germany. Now it's Germany. The Koreans will unite. They'll find a way to unite. Whatever it is, they're Koreans. They will find and solve their own problem in their way. That's how we fix Korea. It can be done. Not a bomb to be dropped. Withdraw. Give the guy a top, an answer. Give him a way out. There's no way out for him. He's just there forever. He's never leaving. Why would he? Did Gaddafi leave? Not until we killed him. I'd rather not kill these people. Give them an opportunity to leave and then unite. However they want to unite, Korea's happy. We can fix that. There are ways of making this stuff work. There absolutely are. So, yes. All right. Let me keep going here. What a hypocrite. What about the Uyghurs? Oh, I don't think that's me. I don't think it is, at least, Chrissy. Let me know if it is. Sam says, like the basic man writes about owning my business and keeping it open during a pandemic. Ooh, Sam. Nice little slam there. Or the rights to my own body and what I put into it to defend myself. Ooh. Sam, look at you. It's a couple smacks right there. Virtue signaling about rights. Very true. Absolutely. Very true. Absolutely. So Christine says, I won't buy anything from Walmart. I got to tell you, I don't either. I don't either. Right. I do not. I don't shop at Walmart. I don't tell you guys to or not. It isn't that important to me. I don't know if it will be doing anything that makes any sense. America has to decide en masse, right? We have to decide en masse to make something happen. But I'm going to practice what I preach. I say this, so I don't go to Walmart. You'll never see me buy anything in Walmart. Don't do it. Yes. So, Elastic Giraffe says, Lockheed Martin and Raytheon need a new pair of shoes. Yeah, they do. And they keep needing new shoes. Yes. Christine says, and I don't drink Coca-Cola. That's funny. Coca-Cola. Yes. Nor do I. I'm with you. Yes. Sam says, China puts people in prison for religion, but we put them in because of owning or having plants, ooh, or illegal, in quotes, medicines that doctors would prescribe. Is one worse than the other? It's funny. I remember somebody once saying, I forgot where, I'll see if I can find it. Someone was talking about the idea of genocide. And crimes against humanity. And somehow that in our world, genocide is actually worse emotionally for more people than crimes against humanity. And the idea that if you just decide to kill lots of people, many millions of them, but you're not specifically targeting an ethnic background, race, or religion, well, that's not genocide. That's just crimes against humanity. And I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it's kind of what you're saying, right? We as a culture have decided that one is worse than the other, right? In America, we have it. A hate crime is worse than a murder, right? So if I slap or hurt or punch somebody or beat somebody up because of that they believe it was because I think they're of a different race or creed or ethnic background or gender, that's worse than if you kill somebody of the same ethnic background that you are. Well, you killed the guy. Yeah, but they're the same, so it's fine. Larry only beat the guy up. Yeah, but they're different. So yeah, it's worse when Larry does it because they're different. And I think this is a similar issue. We have a higher prison population than China. We also use prison labor. That's in our constitution. It's okay. The amendment does allow for prison labor, for slave labor in prison. So we are bad too. Now, I don't think that we as a country are anywhere near as bad as China as a country goes. I don't think we are at all. But when it comes to putting in prison, that in that sliver, yeah, we're pretty bad. Yeah. So yeah, we are. All right. China is better at proxy wars than we are. This is true. Yes, this is actually true. They are better. Yes. If in the Korean War, the saying, the Chinese people who the Chinese army that came over the border to defend North Korea, they literally said, there are more of us than the enemy has bullets. That was one of the songs they sang, marching songs they sang as they were crossing the Yalu River. I think it's the Yalu River in North. The border between North Korea and China, I believe, is the Yalu River. And they were crossing the Yalu River singing those songs, la, 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 singing as a marching. And there are more of us than the enemy has bullets. And there's stories that Marines tell me that they had heard from the Marines who were fighting in the Chosin Reservoir in North Korea. And they were using so much ammo, using so many machine guns sometimes the barrels would begin to bend and melt. That was a problem. They were about bending the barrel. For those of you who don't know, when you're firing a machine gun, the barrel gets so hot. If you keep this way, you're supposed to shoot a machine gun and burst. And there's an A gunner. For those of you who aren't in the military would know, there's an A gunner who will swap out the barrel. And there's multiple barrels for a machine gun. And you change the barrel. Because if you just keep firing, the barrel eventually gets so hot, the barrel literally will melt. Because it gets so hot. So there were stories of them having to throw snow on, because it was cold during that time. They were called the Frozen Chosen, throwing snow on the barrel, trying to keep it cool. So they basically were making a water-cooled machine gun, even though it wasn't a water-cooled machine gun, by throwing snow on top of the barrel. They were firing a machine gun so much. And then after every wave, the A gun have to get out of the fighting hole and kick down the bodies, the Chinese bodies, so you can open up your fields of fire to shoot the next wave, because the bodies would pile up to where you couldn't shoot the next guys. That was the stories we heard. I know, sounds horrible, but yes, Paula, they are better at proxy wars than we are. I would like us as Marines and sailors and soldiers to never do that. Remember, Marine Corps taught me, our job is not to die for our country. Our job is to make the other guy die for his country. Anyway, so yes. All right, let me see if I can keep going. Let's see here. Most of our cell phones are made in China. Ooh, do we know what's inside them? I don't know. You doing conspiracy on me, Jimmy? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. So Sam says they were angry about Putin's competition getting sick and dying by Obama. Investigated Trump and Biden sent the FBI into Giuliani. Oh, I see what you're saying. I love our country, but authoritarians do the same thing. It's a valid point, right? I mean, I know what you're doing. You're comparing us to them. And there's a valid point that we probably shouldn't be pointing fingers when we're doing similar things. But I don't want to say that we're as bad as them. We're not. But again, your point is well taken. Authoritarians act the same. We don't act as bad because our culture isn't as bad as their culture when it comes to government shenanigans. Ours are pretty bad. It's true. And we're definitely not people who can point our finger with, you know, oh, we're so perfect. I agree. So I'm with you. We should be thinking better about ourselves. But I don't think that we are as bad as they are. That's all I'm saying. So, yes. All right. Hold on. Larry, I love you. Don't let Nick P know I'm married. Thank you. It's fine. Don't tell my wife. I think both of our spouses will be unhappy if we figure this out. It's okay. Don't tell anybody. Yes. It's good. Red line sounds like a Bugs Bunny cartoon. Yes, remember he kept doing a line? He just keeps doing a line with his foot, but that was a black line. I'm saying red line. Yes. The Russians would have gone into a meat grinder if they went to Ukraine. Yeah, I think that what Putin is doing, this is my gut. I think the Putin is just trying to distract his own people because things aren't good in Russia right now. And he's trying to distract his own people by saying, see, we have the enemies at our gates and we got to be able to fight and that kind of thing. So I really think that that's what he was doing. I don't think he wanted to have that battle at all. I think the only way he'd have that battle is if he knew he had Ukrainians on his side, Eastern Ukrainians on his side. I think that would be it. I think that would be the issue. That's the only way he would do it. Otherwise, I think he's right. It's a meat grinder. But then again, at one point, you know, this sounds horrible, but I'm just going to say it. At one point, if you're a Russian oligarch or Russian leader, a meat grinder is not bad for you. You don't really care about your people anyway. And if you can send them to meat grinder, now you can blame the Ukrainians for killing all these young Russians, making Russians angrier, desiring revenge. And Putin's going to be the hammer to put revenge against those evil Ukrainians. So you got to keep me in power so I can fight those evil Ukrainians. In fact, you know who's Ukrainians are backed by? They're evil Americans. They're the ones backing the Ukrainians. So you got to keep me in power so I can fight you against the, you know, I can defend you against the evil Biden. So while it might have been a meat grinder, because Ukrainians were ready, that's true. They were prepared for the offensive. That doesn't necessarily mean they wouldn't do it, Tom. Right? It depends upon where their heads are. If they get desperate, into the meat grinder they go. Right? They will absolutely sacrifice their soldiers for this, without question. I mean, absolutely. Yes. So Elastigraph says, severing our trade relationships means hostile nations have nothing to lose on the economic front by attacking us. Free and open trade markets make us more secure. I think that's true. They make us more secure, but not 100% secure. It's a good security piece. I still want us to have the other things that I mentioned. I still want us to be able to fight cyber, all those things. Remember, I mean, the example people often give is 1941, Russia and Germany. They were still trading the day before the Germans invaded. Like there were trains going back and forth the day before Germany invaded. So yes, but in addition, let's also have good defense. Yes. Jay says, Larry, we traded with China and they didn't liberalize, but they expanded their authoritarian regime. Why would trade help liberalize a country? Here's why. It's a great question, Jay. Thank you. To Elastic Giraffe's point, it's to his point completely. What he's saying is trade relations means there is less of a chance that a person wants to be hostile. The odds go down. It doesn't stop it, but the odds go down. So now we trade with China a lot. So now once I trade with China a lot, the country now is dependent upon us. Walmart does this every single day. And I'll give you, it's a thing called Walmarting. So Jay, you decide you have a cool new pen and you want to sell this pen in Walmart. Walmart says, absolutely, you can sell this pen in Walmart. Excuse me. What you do is you can sell this pen in Walmart. Right now you sell whatever, 100,000 pens a year. Buy 10 million pens from you next month. 10 million from 100,000. Massive increase for you. Oh my God, you're making tons more money. They go, great. And they do it. And they buy whatever, X pens. But the first thing they say is, we need you to change just one or two different things about your pens. You could sell it in our stores. Change this supplier, that supplier, and give us this price. And they go, wow, you're selling your pens right now for $2. They want you to sell your pen for $1. So you have to significantly change how you do business so you can sell your pen for $1 to make money. You do that. You sell your pen for $1. You make a decent amount of money. You're pretty happy. Now Walmart says, oh yeah, by the way, only make it in blue. And you go, well, I don't want to. I want to make it also in black also. They go, no, only in blue or we'll stop buying it. Now what are you going to do? Now what do you do? When you lowered your pen from being sold at $2 everywhere down to $1 at Walmart, all your other retailers stopped selling your pen because they couldn't afford it. They said, because everybody would just go to Walmart and buy it and would buy it from them. So now they can't do it. So now basically your only retailer is your small online presence, which is run by Amazon, and your massive presence, which is at Walmart. So when Walmart says only make it in blue, you go, okay, because you have no choice. If Walmart stops buying your product, you're out of business. Well, we have to begin the trade with China so that we can have enough momentum and power to hurt them. Now, the Chinese people know that. Chinese companies know that. So what have they been doing? They've been trading all over the place to include places like Sub-Saharan Africa, East Asia, all over. EU, they don't want America to Walmart them. But America is really a big, massive trading partner. So if all of a sudden we said, liberalize, or we'll stop buying, now it works. Opening up trade doesn't necessarily liberalize them. It could, but doesn't necessarily liberalize them. But now once you have that power, you can do things with economic pressure to liberalize them. But the second thing happens. If you want a strong democracy in any country, as a general rule, you've got to have a strong middle class, a strong merchant class, a strong entrepreneur class. If you have poor and rich, democracies tend to fail. Not always, but it's a common problem. When you have a strong middle class, it is in their best interest to be able to be socially mobile. Many of them will have become socially mobile. They'll understand and respect freedom and rights more because they've been at the lowest spectrum, moved up. So you begin to create, when you trade, you also begin to create a middle class. That also begins to happen. An entrepreneurial spirit also increases their odds of liberalizing. The issue is, Jay, you don't liberalize overnight. And sometimes you lock down first before you open up. I think you said even with America, right? The British locked down on us before we rebelled and opened up. It does happen often that way. I hope I answered your question. But also to be clear, it's not a done deal. It's not automatic. I'm just saying it increases the odds, right? It increases the odds of it happening. Elastic draft point, trading well doesn't mean you won't go to war. It just decreases the odds that you will. The odds are less that you will. That's the issue. So there we go. All right. So if I can keep going here. Let's see here. Though some of your ideas scare me, we need to try some new approaches. I'm tired of young Americans dying. Yes, absolutely. And the best part, Nicholas, is I'm glad you said that. Because I know a lot of people think what I'm saying doesn't make any sense or is crazy or weird, and they'd rather go back with what's been done. I understand that. And I'm happy to have the conversation. I'm trying to show you that I think that in the long run, my answers are correct. And I think in the long run that my answers will get us what we actually want. If we had done what I was talking about off the bat, 20 years, we wouldn't be spent 20 years in Afghanistan. And again, my concept is always the same. The example I always use is the same. Vietnam, I use it all the time. We ran out of Vietnam, and 20 years later, we were trading partners. If we had left Iran alone in 1979, just left them alone, 20 years later, we'd be trading partners. If we had left Cuba alone in the 60s, 20 years later, we'd be trading partners. If we leave Korea alone, 20 years later, we'll be trading partners. I believe that's true with everything. Now, to my point, 20 years is a long time. It's not 5 minutes. And that's kind of what I was talking about with Jay. Jay, this doesn't happen in 5 minutes. You begin the trade and it might take 20 years before they liberalize. It might not happen overnight. But we've been trading hard with China now for a while. It's time for that 20 years thing to happen, right? And we're not doing it. We're fighting them instead of letting it happen. I think it absolutely can work. It absolutely can. So yes. Paula says, it seems like we always wind up bombing countries we sanction. Yeah, because the sanctions don't work, Paula. So we got to bomb them. So just bomb them. Don't bother with the sanctions. If you're going to bomb, just bomb them. Say, we're going to bomb you until you agree. We'll just keep bombing. And they never agree because bombing in itself never works. So we'll just bomb until they go, we're just tired of bombing. And then we'll just end. It's nothing but bad. Yes, nothing but bad. So. All right. Idi Amin died in Saudi Arabia. Oh, was this Saudi Arabia? Paul, I'm sorry. He must have gone to France. Ah, he must have gone to France. Okay. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe he went to France. I know he went to France. I didn't realize he died in Saudi Arabia. Oh, was he Muslim? Was Idi Amin a Muslim? He might have been. I still remember, Tate. That's good. You know what? I'm doing some homework on Idi Amin. Thank you, Paula. I'm pretty sure he did go to France, though. Maybe he died in Saudi Arabia. So that's in three, really? Okay. But anyway, he left Uganda. So the overall point stands. Sadly, my details are sometimes off. I can't remember everything, guys. I apologize. Yes. So Jay says, yes, Larry, so true. Thank you, my friend. We're on the same page there. I like that. I do appreciate that. All right. Let's see here. Let's see if I can keep going here. Thank you for the machine gun info. Yes, it's true. That's how machine guns work. And for those of you who have ever had to do what's called, you know, the saying, it sounds terrible. You hump a machine gun. If you're part of heavy weapons, you hump a 50 cal. If you're not part of heavy weapons, you can usually hump a 60. And one of the things you have to go with a 60 is you have a tripod you've got to carry. You've got to carry at least two barrels. It's a little bag with extra barrels in it. And of course, all the ammunition. So when you carry a machine gun, it's not like, you know, a TV show where it's just one guy spraying everybody with a machine gun. No, a machine gun is a heavy weapon, whatever it is, whether it's a 50 cal, well, which are amazing weapons, or whether it's an M60. Saw is I guess, I'm not a Saw fan, never have been a Saw fan. It's loud. It wastes weapons. I'm not a big fan of the Saw. But I think the 60 is an amazing weapon. So is the 50 cal. The M250 cal. And it's a lot. It's heavy. There's a base plate for the 50 cal you've got to hump. I know. I've had them on my back before. And the barrel is two barrels at least sometimes. This might actually have three or four barrels you have. Yeah, it's machine guns are serious things. It's not TV. And the ammunition's heavy. So if you're an A gunner, you have to carry your own rifle plus the barrel and such for the machine gun plus your own ammunition plus you got to help him hump the machine gun ammunition. You got 40, 50 pounds in your back and in your everything, right? You're carrying a lot of stuff. So anyway, some interesting info. I still remember this stuff. It's crazy. Yes. So, all right. See if I can go here. Running Bear says, do you think Trump will run again? Should we seek out someone else to be Biden to prevent dividing our country more? I'm torn on whether Trump will run again, to be forward with you. I think it depends on how powerful Trump thinks he can be without it. If Trump's power wanes in the Republican Party, and to be forward, I don't know yet. I know people who love Trump and hate Trump who are on the opposite side of each. People who love Trump are like, he's always going to be there. He's super powerful. And people who hate him are like, he's finished. You're going to see him go away. In my personal view, it's still up in the air. I could see next year Trump having hardly any, and I can see him having superpowers. I could see it going either way. I don't really know. I think the biggest piece, I think it is, believe it or not, Running Bear, is I think how bad do Democrats alienate everybody? If Democrats spend a lot of time alienating, I think Trump is more powerful. If Democrats don't alienate that much, I think Trump is weaker. That's my opinion. So I would love to answer that question. I just don't know yet. I want to see what happens in 2022. Is Trump the real kingmaker? If he is, I think he's going to run. He's powerful. If he's not, he may walk away and go build some hotels in Sri Lanka or something. He might do that. I think that's possible. So, yes. All right. See if I can keep going here. M240 Bravo. I would take over the Saw 29. Yes, the Saw is not. I know people get. Some people love the Saw. I'm not. For those who know, Saw is the SAW. Saw stands for Squad Automatic Weapon. It's basically. How do I explain it to someone who's not a military person? It's like a. It's as if they made the M16 a machine gun. Is that about right? It's kind of like that. It's got a lot of rounds and it fires super fast. Like it's like, it fires super fast. I mean, if you've heard a Saw fire, it's like it's flying out. Yes. So I agree. I think a 240 over, yes. Yeah. 100%. Paul says he went to France. Yes, I thought he did. Absolutely. So I hope that this was interesting. I know I picked the Foreign Affairs Friday for just because I haven't done Foreign Affairs in a while. I hope foreign policy was interesting for you. And if it was, please like, comment, share. If these types of conversations are valuable for you, if I'm talking about policy issues, not just theory, and I hope you value that, then support the show so I can keep doing that. Right? Patreon.com/shortway. $10, $25, whatever you can. Please do that. Always like, comment, and share. Make my sponsors happy. My sponsor, theadvocates.org. Head over to the censorship and free speech survey. Click the link that's in the show description. Click that specific link. Click that link so they know it comes from me. Do that, please. Take that survey. Finish that survey. Share that survey. Do that. My sponsors are happy. That makes everyone happy. And it's free. Even better. Guys, thank you so much for today. Tomorrow, I have a special show. Tomorrow, I know it's Saturday, but I have a show tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern. 8 p.m. Eastern, I am talking with Destiny. He is a YouTuber who is a kind of socialist, kind of capitalist. But I know one thing for sure. He hates libertarians. Says it more than once. He hates libertarians. So I get to talk to a guy tomorrow who probably hates me. That should be fun. I hope you watch 8 p.m. tomorrow on The Sharpway Show. Guys, have a great night. I will see you all tomorrow.